And amen. You can be seated where you are. Good morning and welcome to Harvest Community Church. It is our goal this morning to praise Him again and again. And if all you have this morning is a hallelujah, that is enough to get started with. Hallelujah just means a shout of praise. And so let your heart burst forth in praise. It's already been mentioned by Heath and by the Precious Hines family this morning, but it is Palm Sunday, so welcome here for that. We're really glad to be in this room praising God loudly with you today. We are going to read in Luke 19 today. If you have your Bible and you want to go ahead and get it out and get it ready, that's where we're going to be, is Luke 19. We'll see that they shouted with a loud praise to the Lord. I'm going to give you an opportunity later in this service to be loud, so get ready for that, kiddos. Speaking of kiddos, it is Family Sunday. Welcome to Family Sunday here at Harvest. Where are all of our Harvest kids? Wave your hands at us so we can see you. Oh, we are really glad to have you in the room. So family, it is one of those different Sundays where it's going to be a little louder in the room. So let's just say we're okay with that. Are we okay with that, church? So we're going to get rolling. We're going to be in Luke chapter 19. Before we get there, I want to play a little imagination with y'all this morning, okay? So kiddos, I really need y'all to help me out with this. All right, we're thinking about no holding back today as we worship our Lord Jesus. But imagine if you're at home, wherever you live, and certain people all of a sudden show up. I want to know what the proper reactions for those certain kinds of people showing up at your house might be. So let's start with an easy one. Let's say you're at your house, kiddos, and grandma shows up. All right, what do you do if grandma shows up? What's proper? Now, some of you rush and start cleaning the house because your mom tells you, uh-oh, grandma's here, we better clean. If grandma's coming over to our house, we got to clean, okay? What happens if grandma shows up? Can you imagine that, right? What's appropriate in that moment? Right away, it better be hugs, right? Where's all my grandmas at? Don't you want hugs first? Yes, so if grandma shows up, the proper thing is hugs, okay? All right, let's try something different. Imagine you're sitting at your house, and your school friend all of a sudden shows up. It's a surprise. It wasn't planned. Knock on the door, doorbell rings, bing bong, right? And your family opens the door, and it's your school friend there for a time of hangout. What's appropriate? What do you do? Well, what do you do in that moment, right? You get excited, probably high-five them, and say, what, come to my room, let's play some games, right? That's what's appropriate in the moment because your school friend showed up. Let's think about someone different from school. Let's say you're sitting at home and there's a knock on the door and your teacher shows up. What do you do now? Yeah, that's a little different. What do you do if your teacher shows up? Now, when I was 11, 10, 9 years old, 7 years old, if my teacher showed up, I would have been afraid. Was I even like, oh no, they're here to tell my mom and dad how much I talk in class, okay? That's what would have happened. I would have been at first afraid, but some of you, you would be really excited, whether it's your teacher from school or maybe your teacher from upstairs on Sunday mornings or one of your Awana teachers just shows up randomly to your house. It's probably going to be pretty exciting, and depending on how you feel about your teacher showing up, there's going to be an appropriate response. Maybe it's introduce them to your parents. Maybe it's get a high five. Maybe the appropriate thing is to go, what are you doing here? Should I be excited or should I be afraid right now, right? All right, here's someone who might show up to your house sometimes, the way he will show up to our house sometimes. What if the pizza guy shows up? What's appropriate now? What's the right thing to do? Well, the first thing is to give them a tip, right? Because they'll probably come back to your house again at some point, and we want them to think that we are a generous family so that they are generous with the way they treat our pizza. But what's appropriate when the pizza guy shows up, right? You give them a tip, and then you get the plates out because it's dinner time, right? What if you're sitting at your house and the mayor of the city shows up? Oh, the mayor's here. He's got his suit on, a tie. He's probably got some of his people with him. What now? What do you do? I don't know the answer to this question. What is appropriate when the mayor shows up? I've never had the mayor show up at my house. I think that's a good thing. But what would you do if the mayor showed up. All right? One more. What if you're sitting at your house and you hear the doorbell ring and a princess shows up? Now there's all of a sudden a princess in your house. What do you do? Do you get out your wand and say, let's play? Do you get the bubbles out? Do you get the coloring books out? Do you giggle? Are you excited? Are you bored by that? I don't know. What's appropriate if a princess shows up? Someone knocks on your door and you weren't expecting them. There's usually some kind of appropriate response because that person or that kind of person is now on the scene. And so what we get to do today is wonder about this. What happens when Jesus shows up? What happens when Jesus shows up? We're going to read a story in Luke chapter 19 where Jesus showed up to the gates of the city. How did the people in the city respond? How did his disciples respond? What's right? We're going to see some proper reactions, and we're going to see from some people called the Pharisees some wrong reactions to what happens when Jesus shows up. Because here's the truth, kiddos. Here's the truth, church, family. Jesus did show up. Jesus did come. And what we celebrate yearly on Palm Sunday is the truth that Jesus came to be our King. He showed up. He showed up to conquer sin and death. He showed up to have victory. He showed up to be our Savior, our God, our advocate. He did come. And not only that, in his own ministry, he said, I go with you always, even till the end of the age. We know about Jesus, our God, that he is omnipresent. That means all places. That wherever we go, if we have trusted in him, he is there with us. So what's appropriate? When Jesus is on the scene, what's appropriate? And what we're going to see, what the appropriate response we will see in this story and from Luke chapter 19 about Jesus riding into the city on the back of a young donkey, the proper response we see is worship. Can y'all say that with me? Say worship.
Worship.
Worship. That's what we see is worship. And so we're going to look at the way the disciples worshiped Jesus today on Palm Sunday, and from it ask this question: what should be true of our worship? So that's what we want to ask as we go through the day today, church, is what should be true of my worship? We'll define worship briefly here in just a moment, just so we can all be on the same page. But when I think about worshiping the Lord, what should be true of my worship? What, because Jesus did come, because he is on the scene, when I acknowledge him, when I think of him, when I set my heart and my mind to worship him, what should be true of our worship? So let's go. Let's get in the Word. This is Luke chapter 19. Okay? We're going to start in verse 28. We're going to read all the way down through verse 40, and then we'll talk about it. So here we go. Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 28. And when he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethpage and Bethany at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it, you shall say this, the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went away and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners said to them, why are you untying the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of it. And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, rebuke your disciples. He answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. Would you pray with me and ask the Lord to help us understand his word together today? Lord God, we come to you with our hearts open, our minds open, our eyes and our ears open, to hear your word. Would you teach us from it, God? And Lord, help each of us in our heart to answer that question, what should be true of my worship? That way we would be a people, Lord, who leave this place changed. And I do pray that you would bring change in a heart today. Where Lord, there are someone or some people, Lord, where we may be holding things back from you, Lord, that we would open our hand back to you. That you would have it. And Lord, have us. So thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming. Help us to hear from your word today what is proper of our worship. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. As we go, we're going to see three things that should be true of our worship today. First, our worship of Jesus should be open-handed. Second, we're going to see that our worship of Jesus should be loaded with praises. And third, we're going to see that our worship of Jesus should be bold. Our worship of Jesus should be bold. So let me set the scene one more time. Jesus has been doing ministry. As it gets close to the time when he's going to be crucified, he starts making his way to Jerusalem. And along the way, he teaches in parables. He works some miracles. He teaches them of some of the truths of the kingdom. And as he approaches Jerusalem, he's ready to enter the city. And so he sends two of his disciples to find a colt, a young donkey, tied up. They put him on the donkey. He enters the city with a great triumphal entry. Everybody say triumph. It's a thing of victory that's being seen here as he enters the city. So, point one is this. Our worship of Jesus should be open-handed. I'm going to read verses 28 through 36 again so we can see as we go through this some of the open-handedness of those who are worshiping Jesus. When he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethpage and Bethany, at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say this, 'The Lord has need of it.'" So already we see something pretty interesting. It's not the point of today's sermon, but know this, just as an aside, when the Lord sends you on a mission, he has already gone ahead of you and accomplished what is needed for that mission. The Lord will not call you to something that he will not accomplish. But also, he knows the hearts of the people that he is sending them to. They're going to ask this question, and when they do, say this. It's just pretty neat. So, watch this, 32. So, those who were sent went. Pretty simple reaction, right? When the Lord sends, we go. So those who were sent went away and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they said, "The Lord has need of it." Now, unstated there is any kind of reaction from the owners. We don't see that they threw a fit. We don't see that they argued. Something in their heart said, okay. And we don't know. That part of the story is not reported for us here. But the ones who owned the colt, that answer was fine for them. I don't know if that's going to work. Someone shows up to my house and goes, "Hey, give me the keys to your F-150. And I go, "Why are you trying to take my F-150? If someone looks at me and says, "The Lord needs it," I don't know what my response is going to be there. I'm going to ask for proof probably. But whatever happens here, the Lord had gone ahead into these hearts. And watch, they just obey perfectly. And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they sat Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. And as he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice. My worship of Jesus should be open-handed. So let's for a moment just define worship. If you were at Men's Retreat with us a few weeks ago, our speaker Donnie gave us a pretty concise definition of worship. I'm going to use the same definition of worship today because I think it works beautifully. But if you want to write this down, I'll say it a few times. Worship is any response to God in thought, word, or deed that honors him and acknowledges his supreme worth. I'm going to say that again. As we think about worship today and ask this question, what should be true of my worship? What is worship? Worship is any response to God in thought, word, or deed that honors Him and acknowledges His supreme worth. That's why we call it worship, because it is an obedient response in the way I think, the way I act, the way I speak to God, to others, towards others, that is acknowledging the worth of God. The heart that fears God, that acknowledges His worth, will worship Him. And so, of course, we'll also say this, because we are in what is typically called a worship service, right? Too often, we associate the word worship with just the songs we sing, and the songs we sing are worship, and they should be worshipful. But if our worship starts and ends with our praise for 22 minutes every Sunday morning, we are missing it. These praise songs we sing are just the tip of the iceberg of our worship. Worship is any response to God in thought, word, or deed that honors Him and acknowledges His supreme worth. One of the ways we can think about worship as believers is the word obedience, to obey. Now, kiddos, I know that one of the things you got was a follow along. There's a coloring page on one side, and there's some words to be listening for on the other side. That's one of your words, obey. When we think about worship, we may think of the word obeying, because we acknowledge God, His supreme worth, and His position as God, the Lord Jesus as King. What's proper is that we lay our life down before Him. We worship Him. If we want to worship Jesus, we will obey Jesus. So notice in this story we just read, this true story, the obedience of the disciples. He says, go, and what did they do? They went, right? He says, go, and what did they do? Those He sent went. What a beautiful, simplistic picture of obedient worship to King Jesus. Those He sent went. Notice also the willingness of the colt's owners. Now, it doesn't say the word donkey. That's one of your other words there in this passage. But interestingly enough about this story here, the Palm Sunday triumphal entry, it's one of the very few stories from Jesus' life and ministry that is recorded in all four of the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all have something to say about this triumphal entry. And in the other Gospels, they help us understand that this is a colt of a donkey, not a horse, but a donkey. That's important. We'll talk about that in a few moments. But notice the willingness of this colt's owners, the donkey's owners. Whatever they had was His. So we see the disciples with their obedience and the way they spent their time. We see the colt's owners with their possessions. The way we may think about this is that my life is no longer my own. Because I've been bought, because I've been saved by King Jesus, I worship Him now through obeying Him. Romans 12:1 says it this. It says, brothers, in view of God's mercies, in other words, remembering what God has done for us, it says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. It says, this is your spiritual worship. There's that word again, worship. It's obedience. It's laying my life down as a sacrifice. And so when we say that, we talk about sacrifice. What we're saying is we're open-handed. Everybody do this with me. Kiddos, you too. Let me see it. We're open-handed. Our worship is to be open-handed before the Lord. When we worship King Jesus, we are open-handed. Whatever is mine, Lord, is yours. And so we want to think about this in a few ways. First, when we worship King Jesus, we're open-handed with our possessions. We're open-handed with our possessions. We can think about the things we own. That could be our money, our bank account. That could be our vehicle. That could be our home. That can be our toys. We're open-handed with them. When we worship King Jesus, we're open-handed with our possession. Notice a few things here. They spread their cloaks on the colt, and they spread their cloaks on the road. Now, kiddos, do y'all think that back then, 2,000 years ago, there was just a Target or a Kohl's or a Woodlands Mall you could go to just to get a new cloak? They did not have that. A cloak would be a prized possession. You had one. And I don't know about you, but I don't go around wanting to take my nice clothes off and throw them in the dirt for livestock to walk across, right? Or for someone else to sit on. This is a monumental thing we see happening here. When you read your scriptures, don't let things like this pass you by. With their own possessions, they simply wanted to honor the Lord Jesus. This is a sign of honoring him with their prized possession. The laying down of coats was a recognition of the royalty of Jesus, the kingship of Jesus, fulfilling all kinds of prophecies, all sorts of fun things happening under the surface here. But this was the disciples recognizing him as their king. And that's why they lay their cloaks down, even for the donkey he's riding on, to not have to walk through the dirt in the mud. They're honoring him with their possessions. And we see the colt, once again, freely given. So let me just ask this of myself and of us in the room. Which of my possessions am I holding really tightly to right now? Where do I have my claws sunk deeply that the Lord might have me open my hands? For someone in my family, for someone who I work with, someone to go to school with, is there some possession in my life that has sway over me? We worship King Jesus, we're open-handed with our possessions. When we worship King Jesus, we are open-handed with our gifts and our talents. With our gifts and our talents. How has the Lord made you? What's he made you good at? And are you using it for his glory? Are you good at math? Are you using that for the glory of the Lord? Are you willing to help a friend out at school who isn't as gifted at math? It's just a simple way to think about it. But whatever gifts and talents you have, they were supplied by the Lord for his glory and the good of others. So if I'm going to be someone who worships the Lord, it is proper that I am open-handed with my gifts and talents. When I worship King Jesus, I'll be open-handed with my time. He says, those who sent, went. Be open-handed with your time. What a treasured thing and resource that we have. It's the one resource we can't just make more of in this world. And I believe the Lord will hold us accountable for how open-handed we were with our time for him and others. Are you worshipful of the Lord Jesus with your time? Do you carve time out in your day to spend with him, to acknowledge his goodness and his presence in your life? Do you intentionally carve out time in your week to be pouring into others? Are you willing to be interrupted with your time to be poured out for others? And I know that's a difficult thing. For some of us, it's really difficult to give up our time. But we're to be open-handed because we recognize his kingship, his royalty. We worship Jesus. We're open-handed with our possessions, our talents, our time. Or another way to think about it is our time, our talents, and our treasures. If you want something that alliterates, it's easier to remember our time, talent, and treasures. And I'll just say this, when we are open-handed, we are repaid in joy. When we're open-handed with our time, our talents, and our treasures, we are repaid in joy. However, when we are closed-fisted, we are often left with what-ifs. I've told this story before. Listen, it is rarely joy that follows when I am closed-fisted with my time, my talents, or my treasures. There's almost never joy that follows that. Years ago, I was on vacation with my family, and I had a $20 bill in my shirt pocket that I had been saving for this thing at our hotel that I had been considering buying in the gift shop, and it was my 20. Like, it's my last 20. It's mine. It's my 20. I had it. And as we're going down the road, I saw a homeless man at a red light, and I felt that gentle nudge from the Holy Spirit. And now, had there been a 10, a 5, and 5 ones, and I felt that nudge, I'd have been like, all right, you can have a couple. But all that was in there was a single crisp $20 bill. And I felt that gentle nudge from the Holy Spirit. And we're at a red light. The obedient thing to do would have been to roll down the window and hand it out, because that's what I felt the Lord wanted me to do in the moment. But I did that thing where I started reasoning with God. Yeah, but God, what if? And and what if he uses it for, and but I really wanted that thing. And red lights aren't that long. Well, hopefully they're not that long. Sometimes I want to go, hey, City of Houston, what are we doing here? Well, it's 6 minutes. I'm still sitting at this red light, right? But this one wasn't that long. I had a moment to obey. All of a sudden, the light is green, and it's time to move, and I missed it. The opportunity went right by. And we eventually parked. I repented. I told my family I'll be right back, and I started to jog, which if you know anything of me, that's a thing. Like, we're jogging now? This must be pretty important for Jesse, right? And I'm carrying that $20 bill, and I go back to that red light to try to find him, and he's gone. And it was just a moment there where I knew that the Lord had given me an opportunity to trust him with something, to be open-handed with something, and I didn't obey. And I was left with a what if, but what I was not left with was the joy of obedience. The joy of obedience. There's joy that follows open-handedness. But when we are. And then particularly the resource we all have the same amount of in a given day is our time. Can I just say a couple things about time? It'd be good if we thought about it in a couple of ways. One, am I planning to be open-handed with my time? Am I looking out at my calendar? Am I scheduling coffee with people? Am I scheduling time with Jesus? Is there time on my schedule to be with the Lord and to be with others in the name of the Lord? Is that scheduled? I need to be thinking ahead with my time, open-handed with it. And for some of us, this is easier than others, and that's okay. Whichever one of those places you fall in, maybe giving your time up is easy for you. Continue on. Maybe it's hard for you. This is a source where you can ask the Lord for courage. But when someone finds you, hey, do you have a minute, or can we get lunch tomorrow, or early breakfast Saturday, and that decision's before you to make a sacrifice, to give something up, can I encourage you to be open-handed in those moments? And so do me a favor now, just one more time. Can you hold your hands out for me like this? And let's just for a moment consider together what's in my hands. What's in my hands? What time, what talents, what treasures has the Lord given me? And where, if I had to be honest, have I been holding back? Where have I been a little close-fisted, right? My encouragement to you right now is to identify that place, that thing. And just even now, right in your seat, you can close your eyes and go, Lord, I confess. I repent. It's yours. Take that place. If the Lord has identified that place for you already in your heart, and offer it up as we sit here on a Sunday morning, interacting with his word, thinking about our worship, and agreeing that my worship of the Lord should be open-handed, let the Lord have whatever that is. Let's keep moving. Number two, our worship of Jesus should be loaded with praises. Now, this is when we talk about our Sunday morning singing these songs out loud. When we get to the end of the service, we get to worship the Lord through communion and be reflective. And then we're going to sing a song called I Thank God. It's a louder, more upbeat song than we may normally sing after a time of communion. But it's going to be that time at the end of the service where we recognize and look back on the things we've talked about already today, where these disciples gave a loud praise, and from our heart, hearing this word taught and then taking the Lord's Supper, remembering that he died on the cross for us, we're going to get a chance to praise the Lord. It's right and proper to give praises, out loud praises to Jesus because of what he's done and because of who he is. Our worship of Jesus should be loaded with praises. Let me read verses 37 and 38 for us. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. My favorite part of this is it is with a loud voice. My wife would never accuse me of being quiet. Right? Let our praise be robust and loud, even if not in decibels, in intention. Let us be people who praise the Lord. They're loud because they're excited. The book of John tells us that when this happened, they were also waving palm branches, right? Look in your seat back now. Many of you have already found it. Here's one just happens to be laying on the stage behind me, right? They're waving palm branches. The palm branches we see in Matthew and Mark are a sign of victory. And indeed, Jesus came and ultimately won a victory over sin and death. It also says they were crying out in the other gospels. It says there's a word they use called Hosanna. That's one of your words on your sheet there. Everybody say, Hosanna. Hosanna in the Old Testament was a cry of asking the Lord for salvation. And here, as they're waving palm branches and laying cloaks down, recognizing his royalty, crying out that he's here to be victorious, and then saying, Hosanna, Lord, save us. Now, some of the hearts in the crowd were wanting to be saved from Rome. Jesus came the first time to save us from our sin. But church, indeed, he came to save. Amen? He was victorious. Amen? He is the King. Amen? This is who our Lord is. And so our worship is loaded with praise, a cry for salvation, a hallelujah. So we're going to get a chance. I told you we're going to get a chance to be loud today. Right? I think the loudest sound a human can make is the sound whoop, okay? So we're going to whoop together. On the count of three, we're going to wave our palm branches. We're just going to give a loud whoop. Kiddos, y'all ready? Y'all ready? Are y'all ready? All right. Church, y'all ready? We're going to see if the grandmas can be louder than the kids, okay? On the count of three, one, two, three. All right. Yeah, give yourselves a round of applause. Hey, that was good. All right. Y'all want to do it again? You want to do it again? All right. On the count of three, one, two, three. I love it. They praise God with a loud voice, recognizing Jesus for who he was. Why do we give the Lord our praises? Two reasons. Everybody say two. One, for what he's done. For what he's done. Look again at verse 37. It says, as he was drawing near already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen. Consider what these disciples have seen in the last few years. All the proof they need to know that he was the Lord. Consider what we get to look back to in this beautiful gift the Lord has given us and in his word. Eyewitness accounts of these things that the disciples witnessed with their own eyes. That's what John said. With my own eyes I've seen. What a treasure that with confidence we get to look back and know who our King is. And the church, let me just say this. Consider what he has done for you. Ephesians 2 lays this out for us. Remember where you were, but God being rich in mercy, right? It's one of the reasons we take communion every Sunday, so that we can remember what it is he did for us. He's worthy of our praise for the things he has done. The second reason is for who he is. Because it's not just transactional. It's not just thinking about what God's done for me, therefore I praise him. We praise him because he's worthy, because of who he is. Verse 38 says this, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Let it not be lost on us that he is entering Jerusalem. That's one of your words, kiddos. Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. Riding a donkey was a sign that he was showing up in the city as a king of peace. He wasn't on a war horse, not yet. So he wasn't there to conquer. He was there as the king of peace. But riding horseback or on the back of a donkey through the gates of a city was significant. And he came to bring peace. And when this happened, it was a direct fulfillment of a prophecy in the book of Zechariah, chapter 9. It says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, daughter of Jerusalem, see your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. We praise him for who he is. He's the humble king. He's the bringer of peace. He makes us have peace between us and God. Shalom. Things are made right. We are reconciled through the work of Jesus. And he's the king who came to suffer. He is our suffering servant, the Lamb, the one who Scripture says, to whom every knee will bow and every tongue confess. That's the Lord. He is worthy of our praise. Our praise of Jesus is right and it is proper. We asked that question at the beginning. What happens when grandma shows up? When the pizza guy shows up? What's the right response? The right response to Jesus is praise. Our praise of him is good for us. It's good that we would praise him. It's good for us that our own ears would be reminded of who the Lord is and what he's done. Our praise of him is good for others. One of the things Hans and I get to be a part of right now is a pastor's cohort from some of the other, with some of the other free church pastors in Texas and Oklahoma. And we were just with these guys on Monday and Tuesday this week. And one of the things we did was just talk about, hey, what's the Lord doing? And there were a couple of those guys who, the last time we gathered a couple months ago, were sharing some difficult things they were walking in ministry and in their churches. And this time on Monday, when they began to talk, it was praise reports of how God had answered our prayers from 2 months ago. And they just praised God out loud. And I remember sitting there thinking, this is awesome. It was so good for me to hear what the Lord is doing in someone else's life. And so when I am quiet about what the Lord is doing in my life, I'm withholding good from others' ears. It's good for others that we would praise. And so I'll just say this before we move on to point three. Instill a rhythm of out loud praise in your life. We want to think about it in a few ways. Private, interpersonal, and corporate. Instill that rhythm. First off, corporate. We're going to preach about this in our Hebrew series in a few months, but Hebrews chapter 10 says, do not forsake the assembly. Show up at church and let's sing together, right? Every chance we get, let's do it. It's right and it's good. Make sure that rhythm is instilled in your life. Private praise. Carving out time in your daily and weekly calendar to just sit with the Lord and from his word be reminded and then say out loud all the ways he's good. And then interpersonal. Is there a rhythm instilled in your life when you get to be with other Christians where there is space made, either in a small group, a D group, a prayer group, having lunch with someone on a regular basis, or if you just find yourself at lunch with another believer or coffee or sitting around the dinner table with your own family, make it a habit to just ask, hey, what's the Lord doing in your life right now? It's a good thing that we might do this. Instill this in your life. Private, corporate, and interpersonal out loud praise. Last, our worship of Jesus should be bold. Everybody say bold. I'm going to read verse 39 and 40 for us. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, rebuke your disciples. He answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. Now, these Pharisees, of course, are the religious guys, and they're pretty angry at Jesus for receiving worship. In the Bible, when an angel would show up and someone would fall down and try to worship the angel would say, uh-uh, get up. No. We worship the same God. It would be inappropriate for anyone who wasn't God to receive worship. But Jesus is receiving it. And so the Pharisees are mad, and they're accusing Jesus of a big word called blasphemy. They're saying, you're allowing them to say you're God. And he's saying, yeah, I am. And if they're silent right now, the rocks would cry out. Now, I think that's a figure of speech. But I think what Jesus is saying here is this is right. I am entering as king. And it is right to praise. They wanted Jesus to rebuke his disciples for praising him and causing a scene. And I'll just say this. We know this is true. In our out loud praise of the Lord, in our lifestyle worship and obedience of the Lord, the world would tell us to pipe down. The world has already tried to convince us that our faith is a private matter. And I would just say to that that's wrong. We're to be bold. Now, I'll say this also. Boldness and brashness are not the same thing. As soon as our worship and our praise loses humility, it's entered into something different. So boldness and brashness are not the same thing, but let us choose to be bold that our life will look like Jesus, and given the chance to have our, you know, someone, think about Woody and Toy Story, the string pulled, praise of the Lord's going to come out of my mouth. Let us resolve that this will be true of us. We'll be bold, that we won't back away from what's right and what is right, that Jesus is worshiped. He will be worshiped. Jesus received the worship because he is worthy. It was totally appropriate for him to be praised. And they said, tell him to stop. It's blasphemy. He said, if they stop, the rocks are going to cry out. Jesus will be worshiped. When I was a teenager in youth group, there's a song we used to sing that said, ain't no rock gonna cry in my place. As long as I'm alive, I'll glorify his holy name. Sorry for singing, but I love that song. Anytime I read this passage, I think about that song. Ain't no rock gonna cry in my place. I want to be someone who's bold with my praise, and I need to grow here. I need to be someone who more regularly just says and asks, what is the Lord doing? Here's what the Lord's doing. Let us be people who are bold. Don't go through the tragedy of letting someone else worship in your place. Obey in your place. We're bold against the enemy who tells us to shut up. We're bold over the world when it tells us to shut up. We're bold over our flesh when it would tell us to be quiet. And we are bold over our circumstances when they would tell us to be quiet. He is worthy always because of what he's done and who he is. And so our worship should be open-handed. Our worship should be bold, and our worship should be loaded with praises. So here's what I have you do one more time. Close your eyes with me and hold out your hands one more time. And I just want to think about those three areas: boldness, open-handedness, and full of praises. And ask of yourself, where in these areas do I need to take a step forward this week? With our hands open, we pray.